Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders, and this is going to be a good one, Stone. But before we get into it, have you recovered from yesterday's startup riot?
Well, I'll tell you, it absolutely wore me out. But being there, just I feel 10 years younger when I'm there. I mean, there's so much passion and so much intellect in one room. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And I got to say, the Caboose Burger over there at that place was pretty good, too.
That's right. For those who don't know, Startup Riot is a kind of a pitch event where 30 startups get to pitch in front of investors. They have 3 minutes and four slides. And it was held at Terminal West in the King Plow Art Center. And it is just a crazy time. Crazy time. And that's Sanjay Parekh, who puts that on every year. And he does a great job.
Oh, he does a marvelous job. And so many of the companies were fun to listen to, but my pick of the litter, and I'm serious, I am entertaining the idea of writing a check for this one. And I don't even golf, but it's like, I think it was like Gotta Golf. And it was this app for organizing groups and pairs and foursomes, and it plays real nicely with the golf courses and all that. So I don't, is that like SEC? Are you violating SEC rules by talking about what you're going to invest in on the radio? I don't know. But thank you, Sanjay. Thank you, everybody, for Startup Riot. We interviewed a whole bunch of them, and we'll have those out pretty soon, and folks can listen to them. So we're going to go all the way from startup to an organization that's been established for some time here, because in a little while we're going to have on the program Senior VP and CIO with a little company some of you may recognize, Southern Company. But before we go there, let's get caught up with our premier sponsor, Power Partner, the GCLA, and their grand poobah of marketing, Miss Kelly Harris. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on today.
For the few people who aren't familiar, can you share a little bit about GCLA, purpose, mission, what you guys are up to?
Sure. So Georgia CIO is Georgia's preeminent professional association for senior technology leaders. We've been around for about 17 years. And we are about 115 members strong, which is over doubled the past year and a half. Our membership consists of CIOs and those in equivalent senior leadership positions who work for Georgia-based organizations that are at least $100 million in revenue. So we have Kenny Coleman here today, certainly qualifies working at Southern Company. We do a lot of CIO-only programming.
Right.
With our mission is really to inspire our members to achieve their leadership potential. And we do that through a series of structured networking events, receptions, and educational luncheons.
Right. There's a lot of educational luncheons. And also at the end of the year, you have a big shindig, right?
We do. We have the Georgia CIO of the Year Awards, which is our largest event of the year. It's really the most, the largest technology event that brings more CIOs and technology leaders than any other event in the state of Georgia. And that's happening on November 13th this year at the Cobb Galleria Center. And it's really, the whole program was designed to be able to give CIOs recognition for the great accomplishments they're making. So many times they're under the red light, and this is an opportunity for people in the technology community to really give them recognition and thank them for all their hard work.
Right. It's kind of an underappreciated group.
And so I hear.
That's what they'll say, at least.
Yes.
And nominations for the 2015 Georgia CIO of the Year Awards, when does that get kicked off? Or are they open now?
They are. So they opened on February 18th.
I nominate Kenny Coleman.
All right. I'll make a note of it. They opened on February 18th, and they close on March 18th. You can nominate anyone at www.georgiacio.org/awards. So anyone can nominate a deserving technology executive who they want to see up on stage at the awards ceremony.
Who are some of the past winners?
So last year we had John Traynor, who's the CIO of Aaron's.
John, didn't we have him in the studio? John Traynor? Neat guy. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sure. We had Kurt Carver, who's with the University System of Georgia. We also had Walt Carter with Generation Mortgage. And I'm trying to think of the other.
What about our buddy
special.
Jay, who is usually hosting this segment? Has he ever won it? Or
he did. Yes, he did. He did win it a couple years ago. So it's honor. Karen Renner has won in the past. The CEO of Novellus, who's been on the show,
who's our current
chairperson. So we've had a lot of really great people who've done some great things. And thanks to just anyone in the technology community, staff, organizations, anyone can nominate. And because of those people, they're a part of this great event.
Fantastic. All right. So you brought with you Senior VP, CIO, Southern Company. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mr. Kenny Coleman. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I feel bad. I feel like the only non-Georgia CIO award winner been on your show here.
Well, that's probably why they won, because they came on the show.
There's hope for me still, right?
So what's your experience been with Georgia CIO?
Well, they've been fantastic. I'm not an IT person by trade. Sometimes I feel a little bit like Charles Barkley in those commercials where he wears the IT guy tag. So I grew up in marketing. And what the GCLA has really helped me do is connect with some people who are going through very similar challenges and who are very forthcoming and open and helping to make sure that, you know, we are able to succeed in sharing best practices and experiences.
So now, is it unusual for a CIO not to have that strong of a technology background?
Well, it's different. You know, one of the things I think that at least I hope we brought to the table for our team is having worked in multiple places in our business is making sure we're leveraging the IT resources mm-hmm. in a way that help bring maximum value. So, you know, been out in the field, understand how people use the technology. Let's make sure we're prioritizing our investments in IT to help enable our business.
Was your career primarily at the Southern Company?
Yeah, so a little known fact about me, I played professional baseball for 7 years, White Sox and Cubs organization. Played with a little known baseball player named Michael Jordan for a summer. Did that and worked in economic.
You couldn't help him hit the ball.
Well, I needed some help myself. I mean, the natural progression from baseball is to be sitting here with you guys, right? I mean, it's just pinnacle of the career. So did that for a while. Worked in economic development. Joined the Southern Company about 15 years ago, and have worked in retail, wholesale, external affairs, and customer operations for my career.
So current projects, are they on double secret probation? Are you allowed to tell us about any current projects that you're really fired up about out there?
Well, we've got lots of very interesting things going on for our listeners in the Georgia area. They may know we are, through our subsidiary Georgia Power, building the first new nuclear plant in a generation in Plant Vogtle, Units 3 and 4. Really, our IT team has been at the point of the spear, if you will, and trying to help them develop the technology roadmap. It's going to be the first all-digital nuclear plant. And so we are working to help develop the technology roadmap for our companies and how we handle the fuel, how we account for the kilowatt-hour usage, and et cetera, really how we run the plant.
Now, this is the first nuclear plant in the country, right? It's not just Georgia?
It's the first one that'll be built. It'll come online. The first one will come online in 19. The second one will come online in 20. It'll be the first one in about 30 years.
Yeah. And so how was Georgia able to pull that off?
Well, we go through a pretty exhaustive process with our regulatory commission. And really what we have to do when we identify a need for additional capacity is lay out all of the options with the commission. This was the most cost-effective option, and so we went through that process and got support from our commissions. It really is the best deal for our customers, given the continued growth in Georgia.
And where in Georgia is it going to be?
It's going to be at Plant Vogtle, which is out near Augusta.
Mm-hmm. And is the energy going to be also used in the Carolinas as well, or will it stay here only in Georgia?
Well, so it's built to serve the load of Georgia. And the way we're fortunate in Southern Company, we've got a multi-state system, so we're able to balance the load needs per state, and then we're able to sell the excess to the benefit of our native load customers. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got off topic here. Let's get back to baseball, which is what I want to talk about.
Absolutely.
If you can turn a double play, you can turn a double play, and for as long as you can do it effectively, great, you're there. In IT, though, it strikes me that whatever skill set you had yesterday may or may not serve you or the organization today. Isn't competency for IT people a moving target? Speak to that a little bit, if you will.
Well, I think it is indeed changing. I mean, the forces that are driving really every IT organization, from cloud to social to mobile to how you manage data, are really driving us to make sure that we are gaining new skills to help us be able to manage that. And it's a challenge. It's a very competitive market here in Georgia for talent. And we're still trying to figure out in some ways, right, how do we leverage that to the benefit of our business and our customers. So lots of new things going on for us. We've got a bolder new strategy to help make sure we're enabling productivity across the enterprise and simplifying our environment internal. So that's got some data center and some private cloud kind of initiatives for us. And then we are really developing this repeatable data management practice that for us is going to help us enable analytics much better, how we run our business and then how we serve our customers.
Now, you mentioned talent. How is your training program? How do you onboard new talent and how do you get them ready to go?
Now, that's double top secret. We try to beg, borrow, and steal them from everybody we can. I'll tell you, we don't spend nearly as much time as we'd like to. We try to run a lean shop. We've got 1,100 people serving 26,000 employees and some 4.5 million customers. And so we've got training programs that we for basic blocking, tackling kinds of skills. We send people off to conferences on a pretty regular basis. But, you know, it's still a lot of OJT for us. And we try to leverage the expertise of some of our vendor partners in a lot of places. Mm-hmm.
Years ago, in a former lifetime, when I had probably the closest thing to a real job I've ever had, I actually was allowed to observe and participate a little bit in a training program for linemen. And the culture, for one thing, is just it's fascinating, and it's a real testament to the organization.
Did you pass?
No, thank God I didn't have to take the test. But what I remember most about that, and this has been some years ago, was the focus on, and I think they actually called it a tailgate meeting or something. You know, because I mean, you have lives in your hands, and you have your coworkers' lives in your hands, and there was just great emphasis, and there was a great deal of structure, discipline, rigor to the whole process. And you I guess gather around the tailgate and you talk about the plan, right?
Well, yeah. So it is part of a broader initiative for us, and that is safety. And safety is the most paramount for us in our business. We've been driving home for the last 15 years something we call Target Zero, which is for us a never-ending commitment to try to eliminate not only all accidents in our environment, but also every unsafe behavior. And so part of those tailgate meetings to make sure every member on the team understands what's the job for today, where are the hazards, how have we mitigated them, who's responsible for the mitigation measures, and we do that on every job, every day. And so it's a big part of who we are.
Well, I suspect that there is I realize that maybe lives may not be in the balance, economic lives might be, but I suspect there's a parallel to that level of consciousness over in the IT area, too. Like, there's probably discipline, rigor, methodology, process that you guys are very... Can you speak to that a little bit and about how that... it's just part of the culture there at Southern Company, isn't it?
Yeah, we are a very process-oriented company in everything that we do.
And I want that, though, out of my utility, right?
No question. And, I mean, at the core of it really is that safety methodology, is that safety mentality, right? Document what you do, how you do it, make sure that you're able to be successful. You know, on the IT processes, I mean, we do things that many other shops do, and we've got an idle shop, we've got a service management group to help make sure that we're meeting the metrics and the service level agreements and such. But I think at the core underneath all those processes is really a culture question, right? Are you committed to ensuring quality in every job you do? And I think for us, it comes back to our safety foundation. It really does. Every job, every day, safely. Same way we treat every IT project.
And then in IT, safety could spill into cybersecurity, right? So do you have the same rigor in that area?
Oh, no question. So our cyber program, while we don't really like to talk about it much, we've got a tremendously disciplined process. And like many companies, we've got a strategy that includes defense in depth and ensuring we leverage intel from our federal partners. And that's one of the ways, I think, that we have really helped to improve situational awareness in our cyber program. We're one of the most regulated industries in the country, and we're actually the only critical infrastructure industry that's got mandatory enforceable cyber standards. NERC critical infrastructure protection is the regulation. But what we've been able to do is really leverage our federal partners in a variety of different methods to help us gain real-time insight into what's happening and help us be able to mitigate threats before they head towards our environment.
So I don't know when you time to do it, but you're very involved in the community. 100 Black Men of America, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, 100 Black Men of Atlanta, which for those of you who aren't familiar, is an organization really dedicated primarily to helping to grow youth in our organization. And so we've got a number of things you may have heard of. Project Success is likely the largest, where we find kids who've had trouble in school, who may or may be suspended, may not, pull them out of school, get them involved with a number of mentors through the organization, help kind of give them the economics of success and take them through a rigorous several-month program such that the success rate has been nearly 90% when they go back into school,
wow.
don't have any more trouble, and end up graduating. Another thing that we've promised them through this Project Success is that if you go through this program, you graduate with a B average, we'll help to fund your college.
Wow.
And so it's a financial commitment that was made some 20 years ago by the leaders of the organization to try to put some tangible benefits behind doing the right thing.
And then, do they stay compliant and do a high percentage make it through?
Yeah, almost 90% of them.
Oh, so when you said 90%, they
make it through the program, make it back through high school.
And college?
And graduate. And
wow. We ought to put you in charge of the educational system.
Really?
Good Lord.
So why do you think
my wife's a PhD educator. She would never allow that to happen.
But why do you think it works so well?
Well, I'm not so sure that we spend, particularly when you don't have parents who have been educated or value education, I don't know that we spend as much time as we should truly articulating tangibly the benefits. My experience with that group is that many kids get into school and they wonder, why am I here, right? I'm learning things that I don't really care about. I'm not so sure how much you cared about calculus in high school or college, but you know, it's hard to go from a sophomore calculus class in high school to understand how this is going to help me be successful later. And so I think it's a high-impact time, right? Here's a kid who's had a problem,
right,
that you're able to one more time reinforce, hey, you're not just going here to get the A, B, or C. Here's what you can do. Here are some guys that
have been
grew
there,
up in
done
situations
that, right,
like you, and here's how school has helped us and how it can help you. I think we just make it much more real during that time, and I think that's something our education system needs to add more of.
So, but in that conversation, does the light bulb go off, or is it after the conversation and you're having, keeping tabs is when the magic happens?
Well, yeah, I think it's a little bit of all of it, right? We've all had that impactful conversation. There's one of my favorite authors, a guy named Simon Sinek, who wrote Leaders Eat Last and Start With Why. And he says, people don't, how many of us know that we should exercise and don't, right? It's not the what. We know many times what's good for us. It's the why. And I think Project Success helps show the why.
We had our venture capital friend in here a few weeks ago, Sig Mosley. He mentioned an organization, and I see from scanning your bio that you're involved with them as well. Year Up, can you speak to that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. So Year Up has gotten a lot of press in the last few years, and I know many GCLA members use them as well. Very similar model, where Year Up will find students who have grown up in difficult background. Many of them are already through high school or have, started some level of college and been unable to finish. They'll bring them in, help give them basic IT skills, right, how to break-fix desktops and things like that. Then they'll also give them some life skills, right? You got to get up when the alarm goes off.
You got to show up on time.
Yeah, you know, you can't waltz in at 9 o'clock and tell them, you know, something happened. So they get those basic life skills training. They get some basic IT skills training. We have partnered with them for the last 6 or 7 years on interns. We do 4 a year. End up have hired 3 or 4 of those year-up interns. They do a
nice
3-month stint with us. Mm-hmm. And what you find is, here's another tangible example that if I do these things I've heard about that are great for me, right, floss my teeth and right. those kind of boy, it actually turns into money and a career on the other end. And so, you know, the 60-minute special that ran almost 9 months ago showed some kids in New York, and American Express really utilized them a good bit. But it's been a fantastic program for us, not only to help the community, that's part of it, but what we really have found are 3 employees that we may not have found otherwise.
That's right.
And we hope to continue to find more.
And then those become the success stories that are the examples for the next round.
That's right. And Year Up does a fantastic job bringing the graduates back. They've got this graduation ceremony they do every year. And as part of that graduation ceremony, the kids find out where they're going to work. Similar to Project Success, they're told if you go through this program with good attendance, good performance in both your internship and the classwork, you get a job. And so at the graduation ceremony, they get the unveiling. Hey, Kenny, you're going to work for Southern Company. Yeah.
You know, and they get like an envelope.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
A big dramatic thing.
I don't know if it's an envelope, but they definitely get the announcements then.
Wow.
It's to be there, you get the goosebumps, because here's somebody who probably never thought that they would come work for some
right.
of the companies that they go work for.
And that's life-changing.
Well, it has to be incredibly rewarding for you and your colleagues. I have a question about athletics. Even for some of those of us who might have stopped just a little short of playing for the Cubs, do you feel like it had an impact on you and your career and your approach to work and life? And if so, can you speak to that a little bit?
Oh, I think there's no question. Now there are other things in addition to athletics that give you some of these same kinds of life lessons, but I mean, what athletics teaches you is, I think, is that you are, it's something bigger than yourself. The team is bigger than just you. It also teaches you that everybody's got a role and responsibility. We've all been on good teams. We've all been on bad ones. You can't have 2 people trying to play quarterback at the same time. So somebody's got to play quarterback. Somebody's got to block. Somebody's got to run the football. So you learn roles and responsibilities. You learn being part of something bigger than yourself. Hopefully you learn discipline to be able to execute whatever it is you've got to be successful as a team. And those things are life lessons. You know, I've got some great buddies that I played with. I don't go too far in the radio with some of those stories, but, you know, Michael Jordan's one of them. And if you've ever seen a video, it's one of the so a lot of times they show the spoofs, the highlights, and you ever see the guy that's running for, he's an outfielder, and he's running for the ball, and he reaches up and he runs right through the outfield fence?
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
Yeah,
well, his name's Rodney McRae, and he said the last words that he heard before he hit the fence was plenty of room.
Oh, that's funny. All right, so you are looking at shifting gears. There's no grass growing up under your feet. You're looking at changing some things up a little bit in your life, right?
Yeah, I am. I was fortunate enough to be offered an opportunity with our largest subsidiary, Georgia Power. So I'm going to be senior vice president of marketing there. We'll have the responsibility for not only the customer service really throughout the company, but also renewables development, pricing and rates and planning. And so it is an exciting time in our future. We're trying to figure out, again, back our business model is all customer-centered. We put this customer in the center of all we do, and then we try to figure out how do we run the business around them to benefit most of the customers. One of the big deals we're trying to figure out is what is solar, how is solar going to help our customers? And so we've done a number of large-scale solar projects where the sun shines most intensely in Nevada and Arizona and parts of California. And we also at Georgia Power have the largest voluntary solar program. We'll have some 400 megawatts of solar on the ground in Georgia here over the next 18 months. And then what does the rooftop model look like? So I don't know how many of you have solar panels on your homes. Today, you...
Do you?
I do not yet. I do not yet. It is there are economics that are driving whether it makes sense for customers or not.
It's getting closer, right?
It's getting closer. The technology costs are going down.
Right.
Now, the tax incentives for individuals ends circa at the end of 2016. So that'll have a big economic impact on whether it makes sense for many of our customers. So
that's part of the strategy is to get more people using it?
Well, we want to be able to provide it as customers want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And today you've got a number of third-party solar installers who will come to your house and install it if you like. We're trying to figure out, does it make sense for Georgia Power to be those installers or help to incentivize that for customers as well? So, and then we've got the electric transportation group. I don't know if you saw today, we just announced a partnership with Nissan Leaf. We're going to help provide incentives for those customers in Georgia who purchase a Nissan Leaf. We'll add an additional $500 incentive for those customers. And we are building charging stations at corporations really throughout Georgia.
Right. You're seeing more and more of those.
We are. Yeah. Georgia is the second. Well, let me back up. Atlanta is the second fastest growing city for electric transportation behind San Francisco.
Are you seeing an impact like companies like Tesla coming out? They're getting a lot of press. Is that helping drive people opening their minds to that as a viable transportation option?
Well, I think so. I mean, when you look at Tesla, it looks futuristic. It is a cool car to drive if you haven't driven one of those. And then, you know, there is a company, they're looking to build this gigawatt factory to build batteries. And we don't know what the promise is of that to help power other things in addition to the car, homes, businesses, et cetera.
And there's, aren't there some financial incentives for if you want an electric car? Are they still in place?
They are. They are part of the tax incentives that end in 16.
Oh, so those will end as well with the solar?
Correct. Correct.
So when an exec leaves one post and goes to another, I'm curious about that process and I guess best practices around that process, because I really think if I left this post, he makes a couple of calls to the Craigslist and he's got somebody to press record, right? But there must be some counsel that you would offer executives transitioning from one post to another, what they can do for the incoming person and maybe some things to think about as they're going into the new post. Would you share some of that?
Well, sure. There are best practices, and then there are sometimes what it happens actually, right? So
it's that OJT that you were talking about,
the Kinney methodology is what I'm really after.
Well,
today.
So it's really interesting that, you know, typically the executive that you follow, as soon as the announcement's out, they begin to get amnesia and you know, meetings start flowing downhill pretty quickly. Your calendar fills up in a hurry. But, you know, I think one of the things that we're fortunate in Southern, and I know many of your listeners and other businesses are as well, I mean, we've got a high percentage of employees who are committed to help make sure Southern Companies grows, and very capable individuals in their roles. So one of the things that we've gotten some positive press for, if you will, at Southern Company is for leadership transition. And I don't know that that's necessarily process practice as much as it is commitment on behalf of the employees to make sure that things don't drop through the cracks, that the business continues to grow. So I think we're fortunate in that respect. And even those times when people start dumping stuff to you just as soon as they leave, and, you know, I don't have a replacement yet, I turn around and look to see who to dump to. There's nobody there. So the corporation's getting maximum efficiency out of me right now, working two jobs.
That's right. Now, you mentioned a book by Simon Sinek earlier. Are there any other books that help you be the executive that you are?
Well, I'm a fan of two books that have been very well read. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I think those work in almost any environment. And then Good to Great by Jim Collins. I didn't like Built to Last, the sequel, as much as I did Good to Great. But I think the hedgehog concept, making sure you know what you're good at and you execute well and getting the right people on the bus and off the bus.
In the right seats, right.
Yeah. Those two things have served me pretty well over the course of my career.
And when you do a transition like this into a new role, do you come with some like 100-day plan or some, or it's like a listening tour?
Absolutely. Well, so we're famous for 30, 60, 90-day plans. And, you know, pretty much the entirety of the 30-day plan is to figure out where the restrooms are and, you know, what your team's actually doing and who's going to tell you the truth. And you, so you figure that out in 30 days. And then 60 days, you get out and make sure you're seen by employees and you're hearing from them where the opportunities for improvement are. And so that's the guts of it.
Now, Kelly, this is one out of 115 folks in this. You must have, like, the best job in town. Yeah. You must love this.
I do. It's a great job. Being able to kind of pick the brains of CIOs like Kenny on a daily basis. I get emails all the time with great advice like this. And, you know, a lot of our programming is in line with this kind of structured networking so people can pick each other's brains. So it's a great job to just be able to have access to some of the brightest minds.
And Kenny, has there been situations where you've reached out to other members and then best practices? Hey, I'm in this situation. Is there, you know, what have you done or what have you seen?
Oh, oftentimes, especially with personnel kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking for this type of person. Here are the general resumes that I'm getting. What have you found as you're looking to hire somebody to lead your infrastructure? Mm-hmm. Or we're in a phase where we've got very few mobile applications and we want to grow that. You've hired some mobile developers before. What are the do's and don'ts?
Right, where are the landmines?
And the great thing is in our industry, in our GCLA, you know, we've got 115 members. Many of us aren't in the same competing industries, and so it is as forthright sharing a group of seasoned professional CIOs that have been around. And, you know, I tell you, my background's not IT, so I tell our folks, you're thankful that I've never tried to enter the data center unescorted. So, again, my questions tend not to be bits and bytes as much as it is leadership and people identification and what are the pitfalls around process enhancements that you could make. So, great group of CIOs. Going to miss them. We'll, if Kelly won't revoke my card access, I'll sneak in the back door at a few events if they allow me. But great group of folks.
And Kelly, you want to give the website if somebody wants to nominate somebody for the CIO of the Year award?
Sure. It's georgiacio.org/awards. And actually, our next quarterly event is coming up on April 22nd. It's our CIO nominee reception. And that will honor all of the CIOs that were nominated for the 2015 CIO of the Year awards. And we will be having, that will be at the Brookhaven Capital City Club. And the event is going to feature a keynote on cybersecurity in the wake of Sony.
Sure.
By Jamie Lisitra. And he is a 15-year security industry veteran, and he manages the threat intelligence and analysis of IBM's managed security services. So I know security is really top of mind for a lot of our CIOs, so we really want to be able to give them access to being able to pick the brain of someone that's an industry expert.
And that's kind of a typical meeting, right? You have a speaker like that, you have dinner and networking.
So we have a couple different structures. One of them is either a luncheon or reception, mm-hmm. Where there's kind of a networking, unstructured networking element, and then being able to hear from somebody that's a subject matter expert, all really related around leadership and how people can be the best leaders they can. We also have an event structure that is CIO structured networking, and that's where we have our CIO members sit at a table and be able to talk about their challenges, what their initiatives are that year, where they need help, mm-hmm. Where they can help others. So that's been really well received by our membership, and it's a big reason why a lot of people stay members and continue year to year.
Well, one of the great things about those quarterly meetings is with us only having 115 members, it's small enough where you could have a good bit of dialogue around the topic. And so it has been very helpful to me to attend many of those quarterly meetings.
Mm-hmm. And it's the state of Georgia. It's not just Atlanta companies, right?
Correct. State of Georgia.
All right. Well, thank you both for being part of the show today. And once again, that website, if you want to learn more, is georgiacio.org. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.